Next item on the agenda is H&H Enterprises Incorporated, 06-1910.
Morning, Mr. Bowman.
Morning, sir.
I'm training Bob here. Where am I? Did we not?
Commissioners, good morning. Commission is being asked to reconsider a royalty assessment associated with a December 8, 2006 approval of a permit for dredging and commercial pier construction adjacent to the property owned by H&H along the western branch of Elizabeth River. The Commission approved the project. Staff drafted the permit and assessed a royalty in the amount of $39,450 for the encroachment of the pier in what amounted to a vessel mooring plan over 19,725 square foot. This was at the Commission's rate of $2 per square foot. This, of course, as you'll see shortly, was based on input that was provided by the permittee. The dredging royalty was actually waived, as you'll see, because of a previous permit that was issued to Virginia Boat and Yacht, and the royalty was paid when they executed that permit. The dredging was never done. The facility is located on the north side of the western branch of the Elizabeth River, near the confluence or where the western branch freeway crosses. This is just an aerial showing the facility off to the left of the bridge. Another aerial from 2002. And these are the applicants. Actually, this is the drawing that was submitted with the applicants, plus the outline of the dredging that was authorized under 980776. This is the area for which the dredging was previously applied for. The royalty was paid. It's also the area that H&H wanted to dredge this time. They proposed a commercial pier with two finger piers, 300 foot. And in looking at the project when Tracy was working on it, obviously the Commission's royalty guidelines call for the use of a bold outline. In dealing with the applicant through their agent, Tracy basically said, what do you have that's actually going to be moored at the facility so that we can utilize that? The applicant provided schematic drawings of where they thought they would have, you know, large bow, barge, mud scow, and some tugs tied up. So what Tracy did when she was executing the permit was take the pier, the actual shadow encroachment, the L head, each at 5,800 and 1,600 square foot. She then calculated, you know, the shadow, if you will, of the area that the applicant said that they were going to be utilizing, came up with the 19,725 square foot upon which the royalty was based. The concern that the agent voiced to us was that, you know, the Commission was assessing royalty for the mooring of vessels, and we tried to explain that no, it really wasn't the vessels that would moor, but we were using their input to come up with the bold outline. If one were to look at it, you know, basically what would that be? Again, the shadow pier under the Commission's bold outline, we would basically have normally have said, well, there's a large area approximating 42,000 square foot that could be used by the applicant, state owned bottom, for private purposes on either side of the pier. There was also, you know, an area at the head of the pier, and in some instances we would take an additional 1,500 square foot and just draw the theoretically the bold outline. That would give you 45,000 square feet, or if you included this, 46,050 square feet. The royalty for that would have been $90,000. So, in staff's viewpoint, basically when staff issued the permit, used their input, calculated the royalty based on where the applicant said they thought the barges, it was an approximation of, you know, a much smaller area. And again, that was $39,000. So the applicant is here through his agent asking the Commission to waive the 39,000 square foot or $39,000 royalty based on the mooring plan that they provided.
Can you show me what they're asking to be eliminated? I think I know, but what is their contention from an elimination perspective that they believe should not be subject to royalty?
Well, their point basically is that they should be paying for the shadow encroachment of the pier, which was the commission's old procedure. They were saying, you know, in essence, you're charging us a royalty for the shadow of the boats. We don't think we should have to pay for the boats. All we used was an approximation of what they thought would be moored, not in a particular area, but as an approximation of the air, state, and bottom that was being placed to public, to private use. The real question is, what does the commission want to use for the bold outline of the pier? Does the commission want to basically just use this and exclude the end? Does the commission want to use the bold outline as the interior portion of the pier? What other than the direct shadow is being converted essentially to a private use, which was the purpose behind using bold outline when the commission adopted its new royalty schedule in December of 2005.
Mr. Schick.
The dredging was performed on both sides of the dock.
Correct.
Right. Okay. So, and did they give any reason why they should be treated different than anybody else in the Commonwealth?
No, sir.
Okay.
Well, they initially... The dredging was done, yes, at the head of the pier on both sides to allow the movement of the vessels, you know, in and out. They initially argued that they were exempt under the provisions of 28.2-1206.
I think they've revisited that.
Right. We staff discussed with them. We said we didn't believe that basically working on waterfront construction projects qualified under the code exemption, and therefore they did not qualify. So really, the whole essence of the question is, what does the commission want to use for the bold outline? Staff used their input to come up with a much smaller assessment to which they're objecting.
Can you go back to the other photograph, Bob, which showed the barges, on one on the right, one on the top, please? No, the
talking about the
no, the actual schematic. That one.
Is that what we used? What's in blue and purple?
Yes, sir.
So when you add up all of the blue and purple, that's how we arrived at the 19,000.
Right. We took their figures. Tracy asked them, "What are you going to use?" This was the figures that they estimated. Tracy then used that shadow to basically calculate the bold outline.
So we have it on the record. Mr. Fox.
But what we're trying to assess a royalty on is the amount of surface or ground that's been converted, basically converted from public use to private use.
Correct.
So if somebody comes and ties up at his dock or goes up next to it, you don't think he's going to complain?
In reality, we should have used just the bold outline,
right,
and said, this is what it is. I don't care
what
boats are moored in there, whether it's a tug, whether it's a
bow
or anything
else.
This is the bold outline. And Tracy was trying to work with the applicant to come up with, you know, something less, which was the 39,000 or the 19,725 square feet that we used based on their input. But
as Mr. Schick points out, other people in the Commonwealth would have the bold outline.
Correct.
They would be charged on the bold outline.
Correct.
Question, Mr. Chairman.
Let me get Mr. Schick first and Mr. Robbins. Mr. Schick.
I don't recall that there was any restriction in the number of boats or the size of boats that could be docked. So essentially, using this diagram, they could also go on the left side or the underside of the L head. In addition to...
Correct. They could put six or seven boats there. Tracy merely used their input as the average, as an approximation for what she thought qualified.
Mr. Robbins.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. Just a follow-up question. Bob, the bold outline, is that adopted as a matter of regulation or policy?
No, it's a matter of the commission's regulation that was the The royalty schedule was adopted in December 1st of 2005.
So it's adopted by regulation. How about past practice?
What's not defined is what constitutes
the bold outline.
The bold outline.
I understand that, but what has your practice been as a staff?
Our practice has been basically to, if you were mooring port side two and you had a 15-foot, you know, beam boat, we'd come 15 feet off the pier and on the T-head and then take the shadow of the interior portion.
Have you had any previous cases in which you deviated from the bold outline procedure or practice?
Well, the commission has deviated sometimes in the bold outline for boat lifts or existing structures that were there. It's not, the commission's now being faced and we're issuing permits for piers that were previously assessed. They're being rebuilt. You know, we're not going to double charge for the shadow, but we're now taking the bold outline. And basically that's based on not the area that was dredged, but the type of vessels
right.
that are being moored. Is just what we would use.
Any further questions, Mr. Graham?
Yeah, Bob,
Mr. McCluskey.
These boats, these are boats that are mobile. They may be there today and gone tomorrow. Is that correct?
Correct.
So what we're trying to do here is use the waterway, not the bottom, but the federal waters, to assess a bold outline.
It's not based on federal waters. If someone got a permit for 150 slip marina, we would assess a royalty of the entire area that's essentially being converted to a private use. Whether or not they had 50 vessels the first year, 75 the second, 100, it's not really based on the vessels that are moored. It's the area that's being encumbered for a private purpose and private use.
Mr. Josephson.
Just to clear up any possible misconception, federal waters are not federally owned waters. They are federally regulated waters as navigable waters. The ownership of the state-owned bottom lands extends not just to the bottom land. It encompasses the water area above that and the airspace above that to some reasonable period. So we are talking about property, which is the ownership of the Commonwealth of Virginia.
I guess the only concern that I have as far as the bold outline, I understand the bold outline from the top of the L to the bottom, but I'm a little concerned about the bold outline encompassing where BC4 and Mudscow are. I don't have any problem whatsoever as far as the bold footprint with the rest of it. That's just an observation. Is the applicant here or the agent? Would you come forward, sir? Good morning, sir.
Good morning.
You raise your right hand. You solemnly swear the testimony that you're about to give will be the truth, the whole truth, and nothing but the truth, so help you God.
I do.
Can you state your name, who you represent, please?
Jim Giorgio with JSG Development Consultants, the
okay.
agent for the applicant.
What's your position, sir?
Essentially, what we were asking for is relief from basically an abatement of the royalties based on considering the way this facility is used and the nature of the vessels. In a construction company such as H&H's, these barges are not there. If this was a marina or, say, a boat rental facility or something, I wouldn't be arguing the applicability of the bold outline. And we have a concern about is that these vessels are only there for maintenance, loading, unloading materials. They're not permanently, that's not their permanent mooring. Theoretically, these barges are out working. They're out at job sites. They're out elsewhere, on state waters. They are maybe there 10-15% of the time within any given year. And so what we were asking for is if it was possible to be qualified under the exemption, the statutory exemption, well, that would be great if at least, work with some abatement is what we're looking for on the applicability of the royalties of the overall bold outline.
I think we got two. I think there's two specific issues here. One of which is the exemption under the code, and we've discussed that. And I don't believe that this specific facility was contemplated in the code of Virginia.
We conceded that point and said, okay, fine. We would like to have some abatement of the royalties, taking into special consideration of the manner in which this facility, you know, moors vessels. These are construction barges and tugs that he theoretically should be out making money working. They're not tied up there. It's not like a marina where the vessel is there all the time, occupying that space. These vessels are out working most of the time. It's just a home base to be able to pull them in for maintenance. And
what are we talking? What are we talking as far as square footage concerned for the mud scow and that BC4 barge? What's the staff, or do you know right off what the square footage of that would be?
Actually,
I can't read. I think it might be up there, but I can't read it.
The mud scow was 65 by roughly 30, and the BC4 barge was 120 by 45. So those are the square footage of the roughly 7,300 square feet.
Okay. Do you have anything else, sir?
That was it. We were asking the commission to for an abatement of the bold outline, essentially just for the square footage of the fixed pier, the shadow outline, so to speak, was what we were asking for.
Okay. Any questions from the commission, Mr. Giorgio? Thank you, sir.
Thanks.
The matter's before the commission for discussion and action. Or is there anyone else in the audience? I should ask that before pro or con on this matter. Okay, matters before the commission.
Mr. Chairman.
Mr. Robbins.
Thank you. I guess I have a hard time seeing any sort of statutory basis for an exemption. I mean, I think staff in their assessment indicates that they've already been exceedingly generous in their initial recommendation of the bold outline based on the applicant's or permittee's specific input. And, I mean, it seems to me we've adopted the bold outline as a matter of regulation. This pier was specifically built for commercial purposes to accommodate these vessels, and while they may be there on a temporary basis, it's still built for that specific purpose. So I think staff's recommendation is appropriate.
I agree to an extent. I just philosophically have a difficult time from the bold out, and I understand the bold outline concept, and I agree. And I know that when those barges are there, no one else has the right to utilize that area, but I just have a hard time. I mean, there's no doubt in my mind, and from the L on down, everything, that's an encumbrance. That is there permanently for the sole use. Just those outbound ones just cause me. Yes, Carl.
The bold outline would be even more than 39,000.
Right.
Yeah. It'd be on the inside with the bold outline.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Yeah, that's what I was going to say. Is I think if
we did that, it would
be even more if we took out those. And I think also, even though that they're just there temporarily, even if they're there or not, this is a private dock,
right?
And not anybody can just come up and use it. I think that although it is a large figure, I think it is a lot more generous than what we normally would have done, and.
Okay.
So I concur, and I'll make the motion that we.
Can I hear from Mr. Fox?
Oh, sure.
Hand up first, and you can go.
Well, I was agreeing with Mr. Schick. I think that we've been very generous in the way that we applied this, the way that Tracy made the calculation, and if we'd made the calculation in the normal course, it would have been a larger number.
All right.
And I would be willing, I mean, my inclination would be to go with a larger number, but for the fact that staff has made that quote. And so
I think
if you have a motion, I'll second it.
That, Mr. Schick.
Yes, I move that we not waive or change the fee schedule for the royalties.
Is there a second to the motion?
Second.
Second by Mr. Fox. Further discussion? All in favor of the motion signify by saying aye.
Aye.
Aye. All opposed? Motion carries unanimously. Thank you very much for your presentation. Next item on the agenda is Barbara Bergman, 07-0651. Morning, Chip.
Morning.
Ms. Bergman is...